Hello, I'm Monsignor Jim Lasanti. Today on Personally Speaking, I'll be joined by the great actor Chris Conroy, who starred in a Super Bowl commercial just 3 months after having brain surgery. Please stay with us. Welcome to Personally Speaking. I'm your host, Monsignor Jim Lasanti, and actor Christopher Conroy joins me now. Chris grew up in a small town near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and although he was successful as a student athlete and playing basketball for St. Joseph Catholic High School, Chris decided to forego a basketball scholarship to pursue a degree in filmmaking at Point Park University. Chris then decided he wanted the challenge of being in front of the camera. Some of his film credits include The Congressman, and recurring roles on Blue Bloods, the Emmy Award-winning series Mr. Robot, and God Friended Me. In 2018, after feeling unwell for some time, Chris experienced a splitting headache that he described as having the intensity of a 20 out of 10. Chris was diagnosed with a brain abscess caused by an infection, a potentially life-threatening condition. After his brain surgery, it was also discovered that Chris had endocarditis, a bacterial infection of the heart. He was treated and was discharged from the hospital 5 days after his surgery. His recovery process remarkably took just 2 months. Less than 3 months after his brain surgery, Chris was back in front of the cameras. He booked the Mercedes-Benz Say the Word commercial that ran during the Super Bowl. Chris is here to tell us about his experience, about the faith and the values that sustain him. Joining me now, I'm so pleased to welcome to Personally Speaking the wonderful actor Chris Conroy. We are here with Chris Conroy. And Chris, let me ask you a fundamental question. Sure. Diane and Kevin, the folks who made you, what did they do right in your life in raising you and your brothers?
Let me first say that please don't ask me any questions aside from this one that could get me in trouble with my mother. that would be terrific. great question. Well, I think that family and morality was the backbone of the Conroy family at large.
Yeah.
My parents were there for just about everything in my life. My dad took me to basketball practice. He took me to basketball games. We shot hoops. He made sure that I did great with sports. And my mom sort of was there for the school aspect of it. She helped us with homework, with art projects. My mother she wanted us to go to a Catholic school so badly that she became the art teacher just to afford paying for us to go there.
Wow.
She also made sure that we hung out with the right people and that we had sort of a community. I mean, luckily, I have a huge family. My dad's one of six, my mom's one of four.
Okay.
And so putting us, whenever they couldn't be around, which was almost never, but when they couldn't be around, putting us in the hands of people who cared about us as much as they did. Yeah. Like my mom would even, when I wanted to go out on dates when I was 15, she'd be like, well, I'd like to call her mother first. And I was like, all right, I don't want to go out on a date at all now.
She screened them for you.
She was a lot of screening going on, a lot of screening. And so my dating life early on was a little scant, but that's all right. She was strict, but loving. And, I think that's what's given me the discipline that I have to do what I'm doing right now.
Well, that's a perfect segue, because what I wondered is, when you're protective parents, and thank God they were, you want your kids, all your kids, to be solid, have a steady income, a job you can count on, maybe a pension, something. You go into the arts. And Chris, there's no promises in the arts that anything is going to work out. So how did they respond when you said acting?
They were a little surprised because I didn't go to school for it.
Mm-hmm.
I did one play in high school, I had the smallest role, and every night I walked out on stage, I like forgot all my lines. I was like, I wasn't, not only did I choose a career in the arts, but I chose a career in the arts with like, really no talent. I would almost go as far to say no talent, but I had, I know a lot of people who come on, they're like, I went to Carnegie Mellon or I went to acting school here and there. I didn't do any of that. And so not only were they, you know, a career in the arts is scary for parents in general, but I didn't have like sort of any experience acting. Yeah. I had done one small role on something that wasn't substantial. So needless to say, they were apprehensive. I'll say it as a nice word. But you know, once I got the results, once I started getting the results, then they went from accepting it, and now they're like kind of amazed by it in a way that's like pretty remarkable, to be honest. It's like see the arc of where they came from.
For our listeners and watchers around the country, Chris is a working actor, and that's a wonderful thing. Yeah, Chris, there's no actor I know anyway who hasn't gone out for stuff time and time again and not gotten it. Mm-hmm. When Chris Conroy doesn't get that opportunity, and thank God you have a lot of them, how do you deal with disappointment, frustration, being right for a part and not getting it? What do you do with that energy?
I think after a time period, you find a way to care more about what you're doing than the result.
Okay.
And so when I walk out of an audition, I used to keep a box of my scripts, and I'd keep them, and I'd hold on to them. Maybe they'll call. Maybe something will happen. Maybe this. When I leave now, I drop the script into the garbage can, and I go on living my life.
Good for you.
And I think that there's something really freeing about that. And again, it's taken years to get to that place.
Right.
But, you know, if you care more about, again, you're going to have little disappointments. And, you know, I have a feeling like, well, they made the wrong decision going with that other guy because I'm way better than him. But, there's always that. But but I think that the not caring about the results and just caring about what you give instead of what you get is a process. But it's one that, like, It's what keeps you in anything. As they call it in sports, for love of the game. And if you have a love of the game, if you don't get roles, you just kind of move on and you get another at bat next time. You kind of have to build thick skin. You know, of course that happened.
Chris Conroy was in a movie called Those People, which my 100-year-old mother and I watched. And, you were fine in it. But then there's an add-on to the movie with the extras. And the extras has the director showing us that there was a whole other plot line that you were in with your girlfriend.
Oh, yes.
And that didn't get included in the final film.
No, it didn't.
And I'm saying, how do you, when you've done the part and you know you're good in that section, and then they don't include it, like, did you kill the director or what?
No. He was great. He was great. He had a vision for that project, and you know, he expressed to me. I mean, I got the scene, obviously, so I was fine with that. But he had a vision for the project, and he wanted to keep it focused. What do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do? I mean, I've been, you know, series regulars and a number of pilots.
Sure.
Didn't get picked up. And it's like, you know, again, you just have to find this place of you're in a marathon.
Yeah.
You're in a marathon. And I often look at it as like, this is just another chapter in the book. That I will eventually maybe write, maybe not write. But it's another chapter in the book that makes the story more interesting. And I've had plenty of things along the way that are those. And so, like, whether it's the brain surgery or other things.
Mm-hmm.
But, I just think of it as another chapter in the book. And I am in the dramatic arts. So losing, rising from that, having disappointments, having great moments, that's all part of the dramatic art. So I like all of it because without those experiences, I don't think I'd be able to be good.
Right. So it informs your whole life, including your art. Okay. Now, Chris just mentioned for our listeners the experience of the brain surgery. Mm-hmm. So Chris goes through this experience of not feeling well, having it checked out. First of all, I wanted to hearing your story, I wanted to punch you. He gets really sick and he decides instead of going to the hospital to go home and rest for a while. Not a good idea, Chris. Okay. But for our listeners out there, if your head is throbbing and you're throwing up, go get some help.
If your head feels like it's going to explode out of the top, then maybe it's time to go do something about it.
Here's what I was wondering, hearing the story. You know, because you have been raised in a faith-filled family, when something like that, which easily could have killed you, when something like that happens, do you go through you remember on Broadway, there's that song, Why God, Why? Did you question, what are you thinking, Lord? Why give this to me? And tell us a little bit about the background of how it happened.
Yeah, one day out of the blue, I had what I would describe as a 20 out of 10 headache. Yeah. I was walking to the gym with my best friend who lives in my building now. And I was like, man, I don't think I can go work out today. And so I was just, and I never do that. And he could kind of see something was up. So I go home, I lay down, I try to go to cryo. I did other things other than rest. I tried to go to cryotherapy. I went to City MD. I drank liquids. I was avoiding going to the hospital at all costs. And then I took some, then they said I had the flu. Then they said I didn't have the flu. Nobody knew what was going on that night. So I took some anti-nausea medication and flu medication. And I said, if this doesn't feel better in 4 hours, I have to go to the hospital. And so my buddy walked me over. I went, and within a couple hours, I'd say at 6 a.m, the neurosurgeon's PA walked in and goes, you know, he does one of those things where he sits down. He's like, hey, and I'm like, oh no, they have to sit down. It's never good. And he goes, so you have a large mass about the size of a golf ball in your brain. And I was like, ooh, what? Really? I'm like 30 years old or whatever.
Right.
And so, you know, I was in denial a little bit. And then he was just like, hey, it just is what it is. And, of course you have those thoughts. And again, I've been through a lot in my life to the point where I'm just like, it's another thing. It's mm-hmm. just another thing to add to the storyline. And within, you know, they told me I'd be out in a couple weeks. I got out in maybe four or five days. Wow. I was back in I'm part of an acting group, an acting program. Mm-hmm. I was back there the next week and I performed a scene on my crutches. I was like, I'm not going to let this even be a thing. I would walk into auditions and, you know, I had an ear to ear scar and I'd walk into auditions and casting directors who had just seen me 3 weeks before, oh my God. God,
what happened to you?
And I'm like, and I just say, what do you mean?
ignore that scar on my head.
I just played it. Like, you know, I just didn't want them to think about it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want anyone to think about that more than what I was doing.
Yeah.
And so, believe it or not, I think that I healed much faster. I healed much, much faster. And so, yes, of course, I've had many why God, why me moments.
Go ahead.
He has not yet parted the clouds and said,
here's the reason, Chris.
And said, hey, my son.
Here are all the answers.
Here's an envelope. It explains everything. So that'll be that.
Now, what struck me too for our listeners and watchers is Chris then figures he's in the hospital. They're going to open up his brain that let me call mom and dad. He calls mom and dad. Mom and dad are in church and can't be reached.
They're in church. Yes. Yeah.
Why, God, why?
They can't be reached. And so I called my younger brother, Greg, and I was like, can you please let mom and dad know that I'm having a craniotomy? And he's like, well, what?
How do I spell that? Right.
Yeah. Exactly. So luckily I was in the hands of a great doctor who followed up with my parents, with my brother, and and all of my family members. And by the time I was out of surgery, they were already on a bus on their way to come and see me. So it worked out just fine.
Chris, but, here's something about you I wanted to celebrate, because I think it's a wonderful dimension of your personality. A number of my actor friends over the years have had health issues, and but they always say to me, even with an interview like this, we're not going to talk about it, and certainly don't tell people that I've been sick because I want to keep getting jobs. You not only have been public about it, but you've even promoted the wonderful hospital and the doctors who are so good to you.
Yeah.
I just think it's terrific. You're saying, yeah, I was sick and I got better, and it's because of these people, and I want to give them public praise. Like,
100%.
What went into your thought about that? That was kind of, I think, heroic.
Heroic. Well, I appreciate that, Monsignor. I really do. Okay. I think it's really because I got better. I mean, that was really it. I don't use when things like this happen, there's such a clear way to look at it, which is I can use this as an excuse,
mm-hmm.
which is like, I can use this to say, hey, I'm sick. I have brain problems. I have titanium in my head. Like, I obviously wasn't cut out to be on camera or as an actor. And then on the other hand, there's like, this is the rocket fuel to become better.
Yeah.
And I've always managed to look at things like that. And I think it's, again, a product of my upbringing and a product of a number of great people along the way who have helped reinforce that.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was like, I think first it was, obviously it started with my family. And then I had one teacher in high school. He's probably going to love this if he watches it. He probably is like, I didn't expect to be talked about, but Mr. Schiebel, his name is Wayne Schiebel,
okay.
And he was a Latin teacher who was like so hard on me, but it's because he cared.
Yeah,
because he cared. He was an English and a Latin teacher. I took Latin for 4 years. Ooh, that was hard.
And I'm the priest. How come you took Latin and I'm the priest?
Yeah. What's up with that? That's a question you got to ask yourself. You know?
But if you decide to play a priest, you're already.
Yeah, that's true. I've auditioned for priests along the way. Well, I was an altar boy, and I was in the choir, and I was a lector in mass for many years.
Wow. Come to my parish. Come on.
Yeah. How far is it?
Well, beautiful Long Island. Beautiful Long Island.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and I've had various people along the way who have been, who've been hard on me in the right ways. And it's just because they cared. And I kind of had that luxury when I moved to New York, because I got introduced to, you know, again, I didn't have a leg to stand on when I moved here. I had under $1,000, I had no nepotism to come from. I had no acting background. I mean, I had an education and I had a good family, but I met an acting coach up here who kind of, we clicked because of a lot of the stuff he said really resonated with me.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how I got my true career got started. So I was a little bit lost. And I met the right person and started doing the right work that I loved. And it's kind of everything just grew from there.
Chris, what I was saying before about your public thanks to the hospital, it seems to me that whether it's your teacher in high school or the hospital, you seem to have, and I guess it's from your parents, a grateful heart. You know what you have, you know what you've been given, and you're grateful for it all, and you let people know, which is wonderful. Now, speaking of being grateful, every Catholic high school in the country is going to come after me if I don't say, was the experience of St. Joseph's High School in Pennsylvania a good experience for you, Chris?
Absolutely.
Good.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
Yes. Oh, they get on you for that?
Oh, yeah. You know, because if somebody's had a good experience, you know, we had on before an author, and he was raised Catholic, and then he comes out in the middle of the interview, but now I'm an atheist. I don't believe in anything. I'm saying, okay, this is not the way I thought it was going to go, but that's okay. We welcome atheists too. You'll appreciate this. Ed Asner, the wonderful actor.
Of course.
He's on the show. And I said to him at one point, it says in your biography, you call yourself an atheistic Jew, but you're also 92. So I'm just wondering, at 92, are you still an atheist? And he says, well, let's just say, Monsignor, as I get closer to the end, I'm hoping you people are right, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, of course. I sort of grew up with religion, and I think as a young kid, I was just like, okay, I just need to accept accept that this is true, accept God. Right. There's a lot of accepting and just being like, this is the way it is, and you just have to believe it. But as I've gotten older, I sort of have like a push and pull relationship with it in many ways. Like, sure. I look to a lot of the stuff is from the Old Testament. A lot of the stuff that I like Jacob's wrestling with God, for example.
Yeah.
I feel many ways like that. And what I find so interesting about that story in particular is that Jacob was a formidable opponent. It wasn't just like God was like, all right, fine, I flick you off, you're done. He was a formidable opponent. And so, right. In many ways, I feel like I wrestle with the ideas, and I think that that's kind of the point. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, to tie in more religious stuff, like, I was always kind of interested in some of the earliest stuff in the Old Testament and Genesis, which talked about out of the chaos, out of the nothing, God created.
Yeah.
God created man in his image. God is a creator, right? And yeah. So I became obsessed with, like, sort of reconciling my career and that stuff. And because I'm in the creative arts.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are called to be more like Christ, to be more like God,
yeah.
I am called to be a creative person as well. And yep. So I love this idea of out of the nothingness, out of the chaos, God created good. Mm-hmm. And I think in many ways I use that in my acting.
Final question, I promise, yes. Chris, then we're going to let you get on with your day. When we had on the television show that we do, we had Derek Jeter. And I said to Jeter, you know, every American kid wants to be a successful baseball player, popular, money, you got it all. But why, of all the kids in America, a billion kids who want to be Derek Jeter, why did God give these things to you? And Jeter said, I'm not sure, but I'm not going to ask him. I don't want him to change his mind, you know?
Yeah.
So, exactly. Chris Conroy, you've been given a lot of gifts, many talents, many abilities, as well as good personality, good values. Why did God give those things to you?
I'm not going to steal Derek Jeter's answer. I think that if there's one thing I was given most, it was stubbornness,
mm-hmm.
competition, and, like, I guess fortitude would be the right word.
Right.
Because I don't think I didn't grow up with a natural knack for acting. I didn't grow up with a natural knack for the arts. Like, even in film school, I went to film school. I was average, maybe. I was okay. My films were okay. But I always had a reaction to it, and I always wanted to be better. And I think that the gift that I have is sort of the, I won't stop till it gets done.
Good.
Why? I am going to steal his answer. Why? I don't know. I could take it back to my parents to some degree, and my upbringing. I mean, I was always taught to keep my word.
Yeah.
Do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Stand up straight.
Mm.
And always get back to it. And, you know, some of the people I've met in New York have, like, continued that sentiment. And I think it's luck. I think if you end up in these positions, unless you're, like, really gifted, mm-hmm. I think a lot of it is, like, I was lucky to have a pretty great childhood. I was lucky mm-hmm. to have met the right people in New York.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough to be born with a certain, like, relentless stubbornness to just do it until I got it.
You are tenacious is what you are.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Good for you. Yeah. I want to thank Chris Conroy for being with us. He's a great actor. You'll see him. Look him up online between TV and films and commercials. He's a working actor, which is wonderful. But I hope today our viewers and listeners got to see that he's also a man with a grateful heart who doesn't forget to say thank you, who appreciates where he came from and the people who formed and shaped him, loves his parents, loves his brothers, and has tried to use his life to make the world a better place. And is constantly growing. And even in terms of faith, I love, Chris, what you said about anybody who says they've never wrestled with doubt is probably not looking in the mirror and being honest with themselves. I think any journey in faith has to be that wrestling experience you talked about. So your honesty, you're just wonderful. You're delightful. Thank you for being on our show.
And we
will have Chris on many, many times in the future because he's the man. He's going places, you know?
Monsignor, I appreciate that. See, all the stuff you're saying to me now, I'm like, ooh, I have to stand up a little straighter than I was. But now the bar, he raised the bar just now. So I really do appreciate that. And thanks for having me on. I like talking about this stuff. I like talking about not just about my work, but about my life, about my family, about my friends. And
the values, the values you treasure. I mean, you're right.
No, treasure. Treasure is the right word. And I know that a lot of people say that, but I mean, family is really probably at the top of the list of things that matter to me.
As we end today's program, I want to thank you all for being with us. If you have any questions or comments, you can reach me at personallyspeakingpodcast@gmail.com. To listen to Personally Speaking, the podcast with some of our most recent shows, you should also go to YouTube and search under Personally Speaking with Monsignor Jim Lasanti. And don't forget to check like and subscribe. Personally Speaking is also available as a podcast on personallyspeakingpodcast.buzzsprout.com. You can also listen to past episodes by going to www.closeencountertv.com and clicking on the radio button at the top of the page. You can also find past shows and Monsignor Jim's weekly homilies by going to www.ollmp.org. Go to the homepage, and if you're able to help us support us in any way in our radio ministry, we'd be deeply, deeply grateful. Personally Speaking is also on Facebook at Personally Speaking with Monsignor Jim Lasanti. Please share and let others know about Personally Speaking. Personally Speaking is made possible with the help of many generous and wonderful individuals. I hope you'll be one of them. I'm privileged to serve as host and executive producer, Personally Speaking. Our producer is Lisa Jandovitz. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be with you again next time on Personally Speaking.